Thank you very much. As we get really ready to prepare ourselves to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the cornerstone moment in history that defines who we are as a church, and we consider that his resurrection precedes your own. I was visiting with someone this morning just talking about funeral situation and plots, you know, where you get buried in the ground. It's not a real pleasant thing to think about. But I also then immediately thought about what's it like when we're resurrected from the dead. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for you. And even now, if you struggle with the thought of, I'm as good as dead, you know, if you're that low, understand this, nothing stays dead around Jesus, right? It's important fact to remember and something we can all look forward to. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, first of all, we thank you and we celebrate your resurrection, that we can sing words like this and mean it and look forward to a day of great celebration in your kingdom that's coming. Even though we deal with, as Jeff articulated, the difficulties of today, Lord, you've triumphed over death, and you are bringing your broken creation back to yourself. You're reconciling us to you. And so, Lord, I pray for every broken person, which really is all of us, but those that are really struggling today with hope, Lord, that you would give them vision and inspiration for their future and understanding who you are and what really you have done for them. It has eternal implications. It has transformational power today. Lord, I pray that your spirit would be moving in power in people's hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you thank the worship team again this morning for leading us in worship? You can have a seat. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for joining us. As Jeff said, when you're leaving here today, there will be people coming thinking they think it's still 9:23 right now. Well, not these days with our phones, right? Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. You know, you go to a new church, you've never been there before, you don't know what to expect. Are they weird? We're weird. That's okay. But we're glad that you're here with us to get to know us. We always want to be adding people to our family here. We believe that God has called you for specific purposes to be a part of a kingdom that's growing and a family that's growing. And God has gifted you. And we want to be a part of your journey. So we appreciate that you're with us. We do have a Connect card that our community life pastor, Jason Harris, will get this week. If you're our guest and you just want to give us your email or phone or any information, we'd love to reach out to you this week and just see how we can help you in your journey. And if there's any questions or things like that you might have for us about a church, please fill one of these out. They're out at the giving stations out there in the lobby. I've got a couple of announcements for you this morning. Number of different things. I guess, first of all, I want to mention that we are taking a team to South Africa. Come on. Owen and Becky Voigt are going to be leading a team there. They have a number of projects. There's a Christian school we work with. There's a number of feeding programs, a number of medical centers and things like that to reach the poorer folks that are in the townships and difficult parts of South Africa. They're doing a couple projects. They're going to be leaving in a few weeks. I forgot to write down the dates, but they're leaving here in about 2 weeks. And I just want to put before you that there are some costs associated with some of the construction that they're going to be doing. And we've raised some funds for that, just kind of in a grassroots way. But if you want to help Owen and Becky with these construction projects, one of them is they're building a covering. There's a town called Adelaide that I've been to, and they closed down a major manufacturing facility there, plummeting that community into a lot of poverty. They've really been struggling to recover the last few years. So there's a feeding program going on there. And really sometimes it's just kind of bone broth and things like that. But they're going to be going there and building it, because when it's raining, it's just raining right into the pots of soup and things like that they're making. So they're building a covering for that. The other thing they're doing is they're continuing to work on the school in Alexandria. My son had a chance to visit that school here this last summer and participate with the students for a day. There's a Christian school there. They do a great work as well. So if you have a heart for contributing to that kind of thing, you can give at our giving stations, you can give it online. Just make sure you mark what it's for so we make sure that they get those funds. All those funds will go towards some of the construction materials. They've already paid their own way to go. They raised the money themselves, and so we'll be sending them in a few weeks, but I just wanted to put that before you as an opportunity. Another thing I want to let you know about is several times a year, there's a fifth Sunday of the month. You know, it doesn't quite perfectly work out on the calendar being 4 weeks. Every once in a while, there's a fifth Sunday, and so our schedule for a number of our volunteer programs here get a little bit discombobulated. So our children's ministry really could use some help for that fifth Sunday at the end of March. If you're interested in just stepping in and helping with that, our children's ministry director, Nancy Underkoffler, would love to hear from you. Even if you're already a children's worker and you want to, that's fine. But we're always looking for people to help. So we need to fill in those slots to make sure that we provide a great experience for children to teach them God's word, to worship together, those kind of things. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in serving that capacity, we could use the help. And the last thing I want to announce, which will lead me into my message, is we're going to be having prophetic meetings on April 4th and 5th at 6 p.m. That's a Friday and Saturday. We're inviting some trusted voices. Remember, we talked about trusted voices last week. Clem Ferris, Stu Schultz, and Jamin Ferris will be joining us to minister to us prophetically. I'm going to be explaining that today and tomorrow, what we believe about prophecy, what we teach. And today will be a little bit more of like laying some groundwork biblically. And then next week I'll be getting into maybe some more practical application about that. So we're going to be doing that today, and I'm excited about that. We've been going through a series called Hearing God and looking at all the different ways God speaks to us. So I'm going to dive in here. Would you join me in prayer again? God, I just pray for your, just ask. Lord, I ask. Your word says that you give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So Lord, I just ask this morning. Humble myself and just say, Lord, please help me with this message today. Lord, help all of us look at your word, receive from your word, learn from your word today. God, I pray that you would be stirring up, just like a plow that goes through and plows up soil and then it's ready for things to be planted. I pray that you'd be doing that in our hearts, Lord, for whatever seeds you want to plant into our lives. So God, we honor you today. You are God and we are not. So Lord, we submit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Did you enjoy the messages the last few weeks? Yeah, there was some really good content there. The guys did a great job of communicating some of these ways God communicates with us. And I want to review a few things kind of in my own words before I start talking about this concept of hearing God through others. Sometimes, you know, we believe this and we talk about it, but I want to go into depth on it. We believe that God speaks to you through other people, and not just in terms of counsel and wisdom and truth, but actually revelatory things. God brings things to people to give to others. Maybe you've experienced that before, maybe you haven't, but we're going to start talking about it today. What does the Bible say about prophecy? The first thing I want to remind everybody, God is a communicator. We are made in his image. We're made to communicate. It's the fundamental cornerstone of relationships is communication. We've learned that we can communicate sometimes even without words, right? You get a look from your wife, you know something's being communicated. Or you walk in a room and you kind of sense the tension and you might not know it, but body language or something is communicating information. God also is a communicator, just like us, and he's been communicating with mankind from the beginning. In fact, you were designed to hear from God and respond to him. Where is my clicker? Is it right there? All right, thanks, Jeff. I'm going to have a hard time changing the slides if I don't have my little remote control. God is a communicator, and we look at the very beginning of the story. You know, everything that God does in the beginning sets us up for where we are today. It provides the platform for what's going on in the world. And how did God create? I know we've talked about this a little bit, but I want to remind us all. How did God create? Did he go get a shovel and a trowel and some cement and start shaping the earth? Is that how he did it? Sorry, it is a redundant question, but I really am asking for an answer. How did he do it? He spoke. What language did he speak, I wonder? Definitely Hebrew. Greek. I bet he spoke Italian. No, God speaks. God is spirit, and he speaks in the spirit. And when he speaks, power goes out. He has power in his words. And God said, because God spoke, things happened. It wasn't just information, it was power. It was the power to create the sun and moon. It was the power to create the earth and the stars. It was the power to create you in his words. The creative power of God is distributed through his voice. Isn't that interesting? We don't see him reaching out and creating. We see him speaking and creating. The power of words is significant. How do we even know that? The only reason we know that is he communicated that to us. Everything we know about God through all of history has been communicated. I love this baby. She wants to get up here and preach instead. So God said, and think of how it is for you and I as well. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Haven't you experienced this before? The power of your words, the damage they can do, and the healing they can do. God made you that way. And he teaches us that throughout his scripture. Your words matter. Even our careless words, we want to be careful about. Our coarse joking, we want to be careful about that. The blessings we speak on people's lives, and we can curse people with our words. Our words are very powerful, just like God's are. And we were made to listen. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I want to tell you something. This might make you a little uncomfortable, but I know you've heard from God. You might not quite realize that God spoke to you, but do you know that when you came to faith, he was calling you? That sense inside of you to accept faith was God speaking to you. He's calling you into his kingdom. It isn't just some sort of rational argument you went through and then made a decision. There's something spiritual going on there. The Holy Spirit is there, even enabling you to accept him. God has spoken to you. That's his voice. That pulling in the soul and spirit that drew you to himself. And even when your conscience kicks in sometimes, it might not just be you. The Holy Spirit is a convictor. Right? He brings conviction. He's speaking. He's not just sitting in some corner of your heart quietly hoping. I don't know what he'd be doing if he wasn't communicating. If he's a teacher, if he's a reminder, if he's a convictor, then he's speaking. He has to. Is he down there giving you sign language? No. His power, his word is in your being causing these things to happen. It's a wonderful thing to think that the God of the universe has done this for us. We were made to listen. One of the first things God does is he blesses man and then says to him. How does God initiate his relationship with mankind? Words. Words. Mankind, key point, mankind has been designed to listen and respond to God. Just a fundamental fact. You were made for that. And significantly, that's why you were made. God has partnered with mankind. He's put us in stewardship and creation. And even though creation is broken, he still maintains that relationship with us. We're partnered with God to reflect him into the world around us. We see after the fall in creation, after mankind rebels against God, he drives the man out of the garden. And he places a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to what? There's a purpose here, to guard the way to the tree of life. Mankind is no longer going to live eternally because he has rebelled against his maker. And the nature of the relationship between man and God changed. Man did not hold up his end of the agreement with God, of the covenant with God in creation. And so God drives the man out so that he won't eat from the tree of life so that he won't live eternally. But I want to point out to you that he didn't stop talking. We see it immediately in the right away. Eve gives birth to Cain and she says, I've made a man with the help of the Lord. God's still a part of what they're doing. God actually comes to Cain and says a number of things, right? Sin crouches at the door and it longs to take you over, but you must master it, right? God still speaks even after the fall of creation. It says that people begin to call on the name of the Lord. So we start to see a distancing here, but it's not as if God just booted man out and left him on his own. God continued to steer them. He continued to have mercy. Remember, he made clothes for them out of the animal skins, which has meaning to it as well that is good for another study. God's not absent. He's still there speaking. Since then, leading all the way up to where you and I are today, God has been restoring his relationship with mankind through those who would believe. That is what he has been doing. And that's still where we're headed today. You know, we sang about it this morning. There will be a day that Christ returns and the dead will rise. And the whole arrangement of creation will change in that moment. And for now, we set our sights on that direction, fulfilling the covenant that we have today through Jesus Christ as we go. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Part of this restoration is God also restoring his communication with man. Remember, God walked with man in the garden in the cool of the day, it says. It actually is really interesting. It never does say that Adam saw God, but it does say he heard him. He knew he was there. I always thought that was interesting. Why don't we hear anything about Adam seeing God and really more it's about hearing. And then we see this theme begin to develop through the whole of the scripture. This is where we begin to understand what it means to be prophetic. There's been a progression through the covenants of God's relationship with us. And prophecy is a significant part of that journey for God's people because we need to hear from God. What is God saying? Moses was one of the more significant figures in the Old Testament. I'm going to spend some time talking about the Old Testament prophets here to lay some foundation and understanding. God spoke through people like Moses. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me and inquire of God. So Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes. He's trying to help Moses. Moses has this huge group of people, maybe even a million people, and he's trying to lead them. The Ten Commandments haven't been given yet. We're not there, but God has been speaking to Moses. And Jethro comes, and he's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing all this work? Why are these people coming before you? And he says, because the people come to me to inquire of God. The people want to know about God, so they go to the prophet to learn what God says or who God is. So Moses is fulfilling that role for them. He's the one who's they're bringing their cases to, and Moses is trying to work this out with them. Jethro says, that ain't going to work. There's way too many people here. You need to appoint others. And so they appoint elders in Israel. And actually, in that moment, it's really interesting. God says, I'm going to take some of my spirit off you, and I'm going to put it on them. And when that happens, all of a sudden, all these 70 elders start prophesying. They start speaking things that they're getting from God, although they only do it this one time. And then there's a couple of them that are prophesying. They weren't even in the group, but they were in the camp. And God tells Moses this, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It's to him you shall listen. Okay, so what am I trying to draw your attention to here? God speaks to people through people. And in this period of time, he's appointing someone like Moses as a big-time prophet to the whole nation. And then he's saying, I'm going to raise up people in the generations to come that will be like you in this regard. They'll be prophets to the nation of Israel. So this is his instruction to the people, because Moses can't live forever. Key point, God shows a pattern of revealing things to people that they are meant to share with others. God shows a pattern of this throughout the entirety of Scripture. When I say prophet, what do you think of? Grumpy old guy? That guy's just downright angry. I want to talk about this because I want you to just reflect on what your definition of a prophet or prophecy is. And does your definition hold up to Scripture? If you were to say, JR, I think prophets are angry old guys who call fire down from heaven, you wouldn't be totally wrong about that. And they're scary. And I'd say, can you show me that in Scripture? You might be able to show me some scary stories for sure. But I actually want to really look closely at that and ask, is that true? Were these just angry old guys that God is raising generation after generation? I think not. Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? I preached about this a few weeks ago. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. What's happening here? These 70 elders are prophesying. A couple of them aren't even with the group. They're prophesying down in the camp. And Joshua's like, go stop them, Moses. And Moses is like, why would I do that? I want everybody to have the spirit. I wish everybody was a prophet, that they could communicate with God, that his spirit would be on them. Here's a key point here. I don't have a key point line here, but here's an important fact. Notice the connection between the Spirit of God and prophecy. This isn't something these guys are just conjuring up out of their own will. The Spirit of God has come upon them, and therefore they hear from God. It's connected to the Spirit. We know in the Old Testament, not everybody had the Spirit of God upon them. Not everybody had the Holy Spirit with them. Individuals did. They were appointed to this. God is using these prophets. A prophet from the Old Testament was someone who was used by God to communicate his message to the world, primarily to God's people. I think that's important to keep in the back of your mind as well. God is using these people to speak to his people. Occasionally other nations do come in, like guys like Jonah. Boat, water, you know, got mixed up. What did Jonah do? He was supposed to go to Nineveh, which was an Assyrian capital. Instead, he's like, I ain't talking to those guys. They slap each other with fish. So then he runs away. And he gets swallowed by a fish. I don't know about you. If I got swallowed by a fish, I'd be heading right back to Nineveh after he spit me out. That'd be scary. But most of the time, God is speaking to his own people. And really, I might add, from a foundation of love. God is not looking to strike people with lightning and judgment and some of those difficult things we see in the Old Testament. He's looking to restore a relationship. And like a father, he will discipline at times. God's motivation to speak is his love for you. And it was in the same way in the Old Testament to his people. His motivation is his love for his people. It's really important to keep that in mind. Otherwise, we end up with a misaligned idea of who God is. A messed up father image, like he's some sort of abusive and angry dad. We really need to understand what the Scripture actually teaches about God and his people. Actually, if you think about it, these prophets, they cared for Israel. Remember Jeremiah? He was called the weeping prophet. The guy cried all the time. He wept over the state of Israel. He was grieved about how out of line they were with God. And they were rebelling against God, and he was grieving that. He wrote a book that's called Lamentations. He's lamenting and grieving over God's people. You've got Isaiah. You got Amos in the Old Testament. He wasn't even technically, he wasn't recognized as a prophet. He was a shepherd. God went, you're going to be a prophet. Amos the shepherd comes in from the field and starts telling people what God has showed him. He's reporting to the people God's word that he's given to him. He's given to him. You have Jonah, of course, who I mentioned. How about these? Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, Nodiah. There's another unnamed woman in the Old Testament that was considered a prophet. Women were prophets. There's some interesting ones. Ezekiel, that guy had some really strange prophetic stuff going on. Shaving his beard with a sword. Come on, who's read about Ezekiel? Who's cracked your Old Testament in the last year? Come on. There's some good stuff in there. Oftentimes we just go to the big stories, like Jonah. There's a lot of stuff in there. Yes, Ezekiel was supposed to shave his beard with a sword. Nobody can seem to get me a sword that I can shave with because I want to try it. Must be something spiritual about it. Yeah, that was a bad joke. Guys like Elijah. Elijah is kind of scary. Elisha's kind of scary. These guys called power into situations, and people lost their lives. Pretty amazing, these Old Testament prophets. There's a variety of people. There's variety in the Old Testament prophets. And these guys are just like you and I. They make mistakes. They get it wrong. They run and hide from God and get eaten by fish. I mean, I think we tend to look back in time, and because we're so far removed from it, we just think these were maybe these supernaturally magnanimous figures. And they are amazing people in the story. But I think people have always been people. And God uses us in our brokenness, despite ourselves. So Moses said, "Are you jealous? I wish that everyone's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." He's equating these things together. A little bit of a foreshadowing here as well, isn't it? I want to take a moment and just talk about, I'm going to get into a little bit of definition this week, and I'll probably get into more next week, but I want to just start with a simple idea of what prophecy is. God brings revelation to people in a variety of ways. Old and New Testament alike, we see it. Visions, dreams, sometimes God's audible voice. There's lots of different ways in which God speaks. He brings revelation into our lives, and then we report it. Now, you'll notice here, this will catch some of you guys' eye, I'm sure. Reported in the prophet's own merely human words. Even when God speaks audibly to somebody, they have the responsibility to say exactly what God said. This really particularly took place in the Old Testament. So when God brought a word, it's audible, loud and clear. Go tell them this. If I send Johnny downstairs to talk to Gracie and I say, "Tell your sister her boyfriend better be out of this house in 5 minutes or she's gonna be grounded for 2 months. I'm very clear about what I said. Right? And he better go down there and word for word and not manipulate what I said. Dad said he's going to kill Gold. No, that's not what I said. Don't misrepresent what I said. I gave you these words to give to him, to her. Okay? Now, if Johnny comes upstairs and kind of hears me huffing and puffing, and I don't do that. And he might pick up on Dad's not happy that Gracie's boyfriend's here. That never happens, by the way, Colt, if you're in here somewhere. He's not. But he might pick up on it, and he might go down and he'd say, "I think Dad's upset. I think you need to send Colt home." There's that too, right? That wasn't the very words of Dad, but it was Dad's heart, and he caught it and understood it and reported it. So the reason I say merely human words is it's up to the human to express what God has showed them. And how many of you know there can be some weird filters in here? And we can get it wrong. Or it can be manipulated, like Johnny telling me I'm going to, you know, exactly. I just demonstrated for you. We can mess that up. But God brings revelation into people's lives, and then we articulate that revelation in different ways to others. And this has been God's pattern. So we're going to unpack that more, maybe a little bit today, definitely next week. Going back to the Old Testament, this is about Saul. Who is Saul? Saul is the first king of Israel. Now, God has been king. The idea is that there are prophets, there are priests, and God's the king. But Israel says, we want a real king, a man king. God doesn't like it, but he says, go ahead. So Saul is the first human king of Israel. And right before he's put into power here, they're going along, and behold, a group of prophets met him. Him being Saul, and here we see it again, the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. Here's a guy who's not designated as an Old Testament prophet, but he prophesies. People are amazed by it. Here's another thing to notice, group of prophets. There were schools of prophets. There's a lot of prophets in the Old Testament. We don't know who they are, who they were. We don't know what they prophesied. Didn't end up in the scripture, but they were there, and there's lots of examples of them. So there are times where God even moves on people that you'd be surprised about. In fact, there's the story, remember Balaam and his donkey. Balaam had a donkey. Now, God didn't speak through the donkey, but God let the donkey speak. That's pretty crazy. The donkey's like, why are you beating me? There's a big angel in the road here. And he's like, oh, okay. See, you need to go back to your Old Testament and read that story. Because a lot of you went, I have no idea what he just said. Go find the story this week. Search it. Google's your friend. All right, there's many prophets and prophecies we don't know about. They weren't regarded as the very words of God to be put in Scripture. They were amazed. Key point. God spoke through various people to varying degrees. Not all prophecies ended up as Scripture. That is, to all people for all time. Here's something we run into. If God speaks, shouldn't it go in here? No. God spoke a lot of things that we don't know about. There were prophets, we don't know what they prophesied. This is God's words to all people for all time. That's really what the Bible is. It's those eternal, unchanging words that God has intended for all people for all time. So he's in his sovereignty and his power. He's given us his word, and that's how we kicked off this series. Everything stems from God's word that he has spoken to all people for all time. It is the foundation through which everything else operates. There's nothing outside of it. Anything that's uttered prophetically today is in total and complete submission to this, or it doesn't fly. You understand what I'm getting at? That's important to understand. Okay. I want to shift gears now to the New Testament. And I'm going to continue with this. I'm not going to go back to the Old Testament prophets, because I think sometimes when I say the word prophecy and you picture something, you define something, is that true? Is it accurate? Let's make sure we got some accurate thinking about what prophets are and what prophecy is. The Old Testament prophet role ended with Jesus. Okay, that spokesperson with the Spirit of God upon them who spoke to the kings and the nations, that particular way, that role ended, and I'm going to explain to you why. It's actually why we celebrate what Jesus has done for us. The whole Old Testament anticipates a day when the Spirit of God will be on all his children. The old covenant anticipates a day of a new and better covenant. The Old Testament anticipates a Messiah who will become the prophet, the priest, the king over all his people. And it culminates with Jesus himself. This new covenant has taken effect. Let's look at a few passages here. Truly I say, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Let's just pause and go, wow. That's a significant statement. We just talked about Isaiah. We just talked about Jonah. We just talked about Elijah, Elisha, Moses, these awesome, powerful guys with these fantastic stories from the Old Testament, and you're telling me John the Baptist, no one is greater than him up until this point. But then he says this amazing statement, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What does that mean? You know, Jesus came preaching a new kingdom. He says the kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of heaven is inside you. He's ushering in a kingdom on the earth that's different than any other kingdom. We talked about this quite a bit. It's different than any other kingdom on the earth. And those who are a part of it, anyone, why would that be? Because John didn't have forgiveness for all sin for all time. He was under the Old Testament law. He had to make sacrifices on a regular basis. They had all the clean and unclean laws they had to fulfill. How many other things from the Old Testament are we glad today that we don't have to do because they were fulfilled through Jesus? Jesus is the fulfillment of that law. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied. What did they do? Prophesied. Those written words of the law, they're prophesying. They're asserting something into creation. We'll talk more about that next week. It's going to be fun. You do not want to miss next week, by the way. They're all speaking. They're all bringing God's word into creation. They're all looking ahead. There's revelation in them. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come, which was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Okay, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. This is Jesus again. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus is the fulfillment of all these things that are anticipated. The relationship between mankind, did I just skip one? The relationship between mankind and God dramatically changed at Jesus' resurrection and the initiation of a new covenant. The whole world changed. Now, if you're in a contract, like maybe you have a contract with your landlord, or maybe you're in a working contract right now, wouldn't you want to know if that contract got changed by whoever the other party is? We would want to know. That's what's going on with the change of the covenant. Major change in the relationship between God and man. And this is so important when it comes to hearing from God, because you have an access that people of the Old Testament did not have. The book of Hebrews says that you can run to God with confidence to apprehend the grace you are in need of. Why can you do that? John the Baptist could not do that. How come you can do it? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. A new covenant with man. A new agreement. A new deal, if you will. And the terms of that deal are different than the old. In fact, there's a fulfillment of the old. So when the old anticipates this day where the Spirit of God is going to be on all his children, we see that then fulfilled with Jesus. Lots of changes. I want to talk about one in particular before I wrap up this morning. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. 1 Corinthians, Paul's teaching them. Don't you understand? See, there was a temple in Jerusalem, and in the most innermost part of that temple was the Holy of Holies. The presence of God was there. It was like representative. I mean, we know God is everywhere, but there's like this manifest presence of God in this little room in the middle of the temple, in the back of the temple. And they only went in there once a year because it was so holy. And they went in there to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. A high priest did this. And then when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain that separated ripped from top to bottom. It wasn't just an accident. That's God very clearly demonstrating to you and I that his presence is not contained in an earthly temple. And then Paul goes on to say, you now are that temple. You are the place where the Holy Spirit of God resides. He is in here. This is not a metaphor. It's a metaphor, but it's not hyperbole. It's real. He's really in there, blended with your messiness in there somewhere. The Holy Spirit is inside you. If I could picture it this way, he's not sitting quietly in the corner of your heart waiting for Jesus to return. He's in there going, let's go! Let's deal with this. Let's take this action. Let's fix this. Let's learn this. Let's talk to that person. Let's go to this place. And it's all inside of you. You are the temple. And the Holy Spirit is always in there communicating to you, speaking to you. We are the place. We are the place where the Holy Spirit of God resides. He is present within us. How could he be there and we not notice? How could that be? We notice and we learn to notice more and more. That's listening for God's voice inside of us. This is the basis by which we know God is speaking, that he has cleansed this temple. This temple is clean because of God's sacrifice. Am I messed up? We're all messed up. Yes, we are. But the blood of Jesus has cleansed this place that he can dwell there, and that provides something for me, a rock for me to stand on in how I operate and live my life. All right. I think we'll continue with Acts chapter 2 next week, but we understand when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I'll pour out my spirit. There's another connection. Here comes the spirit. What are we seeing happening when the spirit comes? God's communicating. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I'll pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Hey, get your mouse off my screen. All right, I just threw a quick list of verses in the New Testament. They're talking about prophecy in the New Testament, not referring to Old Testament prophecy. It's a big deal in the New Testament. It's a major part of who they are. We'll look more at that next week. And why does Paul say things like this? For you can all prophesy. Not me. You can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged. Pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. What does that mean? Well, we're going to pick up those things next week as we talk about them. Would you stand, please? Our small groups this week are going to be watching a teaching from Clem Ferris, who is one of our oversight guys. He's going to be talking. He's going to take some of the things that I've said to you today. He's going to be expounding upon them. They're going to have some discussion questions. But as they go through that, we're going to make that video available on the front page of our website. There'll be a link that you can click if you're not part of one of the small groups this week. You can go and watch it to continue your education about prophecy, particularly in the New Testament, what that looks like. I want to encourage you to do that. Dive into it. Even if I'm sure we've got some skeptics in here, that's fine. I want to encourage you, wrestle with the Word of God. Wrestle with what God has to say. Pray. And enjoy conversation with your small groups this week. Lord, we thank you for our time together today. Lord, we thank you for the depth of the instruction of your Word. You give us so much to unpack and so much to learn. And so, God, as we study prophecy, Lord, I pray that your spirit would be guiding us in truth. And God, I pray for each heart here as we learn and as we grow, Lord, that you just continue to fuel us. Lord, I pray that your comfort and your peace would go with each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, please come receive prayer from our prayer team. They'd love to pray with you about anything and everything. You do not want to miss next week. So I'll see you back here next week where we'll continue this conversation. Have a great day.